The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
This is James Williams. You're tuned in to Respectfully Speaking on 860 AM, Fridays from 5 to 6, where we discuss
being great, health and wellness, sports, politics, and different ideas to build our community.
Because what's important to you is important to me. And I'm Eric Allen. Welcome to Respectfully Speaking Radio.
And remember, our opinions and ideas define who we are as people, respectfully speaking.
Maybe I'm foolish, maybe I'm blind, thinking I can see through this and see what's behind. Got no way to prove it, so maybe I'm lying. But I'm only human after all. I'm only human after all. Don't put your blame on me. Don't put your blame on me. Take a look in the mirror. What do you see? Do you see it clearer? Or are you deceived in what you believe? 'Cause I'm only human after all. And you're only human after all. Don't put the blame on me. Don't put your blame on me. My opinion, don't ask me to lie and beg for forgiveness for making you cry, for making you cry. 'Cause I'm only human after all. I'm only human after all. Don't put your blame on me. Don't put the blame on me. I'm only human after all. I'm only human after all. Don't put the blame on me. Don't put the blame on me. I'm only human. I do what I can. I'm just a man. I do what I can. Don't put the blame on me. Don't put your blame on me.
Oh! attention of fire. Ah.
We gotta get into the vibes of things. That was great song to get right into the vibes. Welcome, Respectfully Speaking Radio. Yes. WWDB AM Talk 860. Every Friday, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. We're here, and we talked about this lovely young lady last week and how great of an educator she is. And she's so busy that I'm so excited to be able to get her for a second time outside of us going into her world. Now, a part of her world is, wow, have you never, ever experienced a true educator? And when I mean by educator, I'm going to break it down because I'm really giving it a really, really non-broad, a broad topic, but not really because everybody felt like they're an educator. But this educator, she is one of the most, first of all, what she's doing is phenomenal. And the children that are following her are doing things super astronomical. Did I say that right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, let me proudly, James, even before we even say anything, introduce Shirley Posey. Ladies and gentlemen, we got the lovely. Now, Khadija already know me, Khadija and Fran have been blessed enough to be able to go a little bit in your world. And your world is phenomenal. What I mean, phenomenal, is phenomenal. And I'm very, very excited that you are here today with us because you could have been anywhere else. All the trials and tribulations and how busy this young lady is. And I misconstrue a lot of the titles all the time. So I'm going to step aside and kind of let James, Nelly Yoke, and Khadija to the introduction, because I want your introduction to be a little bit more thorougher. I just want to play something for y'all. And I'm going to play it off of my phone because I just want you to hear. And we're going to tune it up maybe later on and let y'all hear the a little bit of the dynamics of the production.
Give it to the engineer. He can put it on.
Our dome, the apart was missing, so they literally had to take apart from the panel. This is a solar panel, and create a new wire.
This is our second trip to Ghana.
And they're breaking down a STEM program.
They came up, listen, they started up, grabbing me, like, on my arms and stuff, pulling me every which way. And they asked me what was my name. I said Musa. So they all started, like, they got happy and everything.
They're describing being in Africa before we get into the story. A young man is drinking the water for the first time, used to drinking water the color of the street. For the first time, he's drinking water like we drink. Clear.
I chose Imhotep because I wanted to see in the Imhotep, and technology that they still cannot figure out how to do the step pyramids, which that's one of the things he did. It was a gorgeous, strong, young.
But just to tune y'all into a little bit of the philosophy of the trailer, what they were narrating is, first of all, the STEM program is in Imhotep. And one of the most fascinating schools, and we bought a few members from Imhotep here on Respectfully Speaking Radio. Now, this young lady, this educator, and I asked them to introduce her. But I think now that that just fired me up just watching it because I watched the trailer. I watched the footage when they sent it to me, when she sent it to me, just to see the difference of the water that they was drinking out of that was the color of tar in the U.S. Tar, the streets. Yes, the color. And the drink water like we drink it, very clear. And to have them people, our people, people like us, be able to drink clear water for the first time was one of the most, that was like a miracle to me. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm fascinated by what you do, Shirley.
Thank
you. I want to be very, very honest. I'm very, very fascinated, and I wanted the whole Beasley Media production to hear about your name because I don't know nobody that's more creative and dynamic as far as a project like this. Maybe I'm just tripping. And I think it's educating me again for the, because I'm trying to ponder on what made you start it. Khadijah probably remember because Khadijah's a writer, so it's a little different. Khadijah's a writer. She used to, you know, reading scripts and remembering scripts. Like, she the brains out of us as far as memory. Because we do our films, she the script writer, so she got to be the one to direct for real. We be acting like we the directors, but we co-directors for real, you know. But Khadijah, do you remember a lot of the things that Shirley Posey, we're going to act like she ain't here. Do you remember a lot of the things that she do? Where's Aunt Deb? She couldn't make it?
No.
Okay. Shout out Aunt Deb, a big supporter of you, but we're going to get into Miss Shirley Posey.
So, Shirley, what I do remember is, and what I was fascinated about the most were the, why can I never remember the name when I know where they are? The trailers. With the plants.
Yes.
How you guys are sustaining vegetation.
They got bigger ones now, Deej.
Inside of the containers, the shipment containers, because I was trying to think of the correct name. Mm-hmm. The shipping containers. So indoor farms inside of the shipping containers where everything are hung, where the fruit, the plants are on the walls and like water is coming in through a system. So I found mm-hmm. that so fascinating that the children were doing it, that they were a part of building it. But instead of me talking, I wanted to ask you, you know, what was the catalyst to you even starting that program and why did you guys feel the need for it?
So thank you so much for having me this evening. Truly honored. So going back just a little bit about myself, I've been extremely honored to be the first African-American to become Educator of the Year for the Philadelphia Eagles for the Tri-State.
I remember that.
So that's for Pennsylvania, Delaware, and New Jersey.
Right.
And then also the National Coalition of 100 Black Women honored me as well as an influential educator in the city of Philadelphia. So I'm humbled by that. But what really drives me is when we talk about nation building and looking at sustainability for the future, we really have to look at the fact that we have to nurture and we have to cultivate nation building in the mind. So my philosophy is you have to transform education and make it real for our scholars and change the mindset, right? And so what I always like to say is I breathe life into the textbooks. And when you educate that way, when you really get positive outcomes. Mm-hmm. So instead of looking for you know, when you hear about missionary work in the continent or in underdeveloped countries, you always hear about we're doing missionary work. But this is not missionary work because we are working in a collaborative group together in order to pour into that community. But we're working together to build and establish and to sustain our own communities.
Wow. Look at James being an educator, because Jim.
So no, craziest is.
Go ahead, Nelly. You okay? Shoot us first. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, it's okay. Like we're all in awe of you. Okay. I definitely went and did my homework, and you only mentioned some of your accolades. some of your achievements. It is so impressive.
Thank you.
And being a person from this city and seeing what Imhotep is doing and getting to meet the face behind this impressive school, I'm just impressed.
Thank you.
And I'm grateful that our city has someone that looks like us, teaching our children the stuff that is important that has gotten lost in schools. So I just want to say I thank you. I really do. As a parent myself and knowing and seeing how our schools have just deteriorated. They're just not about educating our kids. And you are. And so much more. You're just building personalities at this point. Building character.
Thank you.
So, you know, before we come in on here today, I knew we did a story on this in the Uptown Standard through Resolve with Balika at the Germantown Info Hub. So it was really good to actually just sit and talk with you beforehand, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we did a story on this, so I'm very familiar with the program. You know, the thing that I thought was most amazing about it is, like, some people say, well, you know, we're banning ghost guns, right, and from 3D printing, right? But you guys use that technology to make water filters.
Yes.
Mm. Right? Yes. So, like, you know, when you say something, hey, like, something like that should be banned, here you go. You see a good use of it taking place with kids from our city. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know how many people are aware, but Africa has a big water problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, when you look at some of the, like, the dirtiest countries in the world, they're in, like, Middle East and Africa,
mm-hmm.
right? So, mm-hmm. you know, looking at filtration of water and just the things that's happening over there, you know, to take the kids over there and see that experience. My question, my biggest question is like, what did the kids bring back to you?
Mm. Wow.
From that, and you know, like.
And, you know, and a lot of that is on a documentary. Right,
let me
say
get
that.
Though,
go ahead.
For inner city kids, you know, to go and say, oh, we have it so hard here. It's so bad here. And you're going to a place that
right.
our 23% poverty
right.
looks like luxury. You know what I mean? Like, how did they come back and transition that and bring that to you and their thoughts? You know, I'm curious, like, what were the kids talking about to you, like, during that time period and on that trip?
You warmed up.
So, yeah, so I love that. So I want to go back to something you said. You said that the Africa has a big water problem. But here in the United States of America, 45% of Black communities have don't have clean water.
Especially around the Mississippi Delta.
Yes.
Right? Around the Delta, yes.
So when I got the vision for this program, the first place we went to was a Black community in America, which was Jackson, Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted them to see the impact that that had because it helped to build with the intrinsic motivation, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
when they went there with those 3D printed water filters, the news put it on and they said, how are these kids from the city of Philadelphia, traveling all the way down here to Jackson, Mississippi to fix a problem that is our governor and our mayor cannot fix.
Mm-hmm.
So then the next morning, the mayor called a press conference about it, right? And so when that happened, the students took ownership and realized how much power we do have. We were able to come all the way down to Jackson and have an advocate and be not only that, but just have a real solution instead of doing all this talking. So then coming back from Jackson, that empowered them even more. So then when I present it, so I run it like it's their medical students, right? I present them with a case study and I said, this is a case study going into Ghana. And we divided up. I have them into teams of the engineering team, the public health team, the research and development team, and the public relations team. And so we sat down, we came up with a solution. We went into the villages and when they saw the water change from their own innate genius, the working as engineers in the public health sector, right? They saw the water transform to literally black to clean drinking water. I'm talking about our state champion football players breaking down crying because they said that they realized how much power they have and not just power and strength, but in intellect. Right.
Right.
So coming back to the city, they brought that back to the city. And then we were able to bring 5 acres of non-GMO pesticide free. You have these young men. Now they're in the back of our school growing and producing food for the community. city. So what it brought back for them, I think it really showed them how much power we have, and not just a whole bunch of talking, because we do a lot of that, right? Mm-hmm. But how much power is in the intellect to actually do actionable things to change the community.
So, now, can I just say that's the reason why I did a double intro of this young lady, respectfully speaking, because I love powerful people. Sister, you are powerful.
Thank you.
Keep doing what you do. Go ahead, James.
So, like, you know, and this is fascinating to me, right? Because I'm all about sustainability. And
yes, you are.
And, you know, and you just said something about the pesticides and the kids now in the back of the school. So basically you're going into almost like what, our urban farming program?
We have one, yes. Right? So we have so the idea was to be able, because they come into school, where they used to come into school all the time with these black bags, right, from the poppy store. Mm-hmm. And studies show that that delays what you eat, what you put into your body plays a major role in brain development. So we want our students to perform academically well, but we're feeding them all of this junk. Mm. So the purpose behind our hydrotech farm, and it was the first in the city with our hydrotech farm, is they're able to grow this food themselves, but now we're talking about entrepreneurship and getting into the economics.
So that's where I was going with that, right? Because currently, right now, 40% of the world's food supply comes from urban farms.
Yes.
No, 20%, right? And that number is growing, because as we start to grow vertically, right, we're going to be able to do that. So you instituting this stuff, you know, it's crazy because, I mean, EA, we had a conversation. Right. I remember saying when I ran for city council that I wanted to take over the Cardinal Doherty facility.
Uh-huh.
And we talked about that and turn it into a huge urban farm.
Extensive.
Right? Yeah. Because we have so many rundown pieces of property in Philadelphia that the program that you're doing, we could literally structure that throughout the city in grids and literally do more sustainable resources for food. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, I had this talk with my mom yesterday. I was like, I don't know how many people are paying attention, but you don't even have seeds in your apples no more.
Yeah, paying attention.
Right? Because most of the stuff is big agriculture. It's big agriculture. So what you're teaching kids is a new emergency industry that people don't even realize is like really going to be, because I think everybody's talking about marijuana farming and all of that stuff. But
they are.
They don't understand that, like, what you can do urban farming.
Yeah.
Right? And you're keeping it here. And that creates jobs because you got to transport it. You got to process it. Mm-hmm. You got to do all this stuff. So literally the stuff that you're working with these kids now on, right, can literally just bring a whole new, a whole new job force, workforce development to the city. And the craziest thing is, because we were talking about fundraising and stuff earlier, and this is amazing because when Flint and places like that had the water problems and everybody's like, oh, I got all these bottles of water I'm taking here, all these artists, all these entertainers, like, how do you get this pitch to them saying, stop doing that.
Exactly.
And just bring us in and fund us in to bring this to these areas to make these areas sustainable without having to get plastic bottles that's actually going to do just as much harm.
It works,
You know what I'm saying, right? Like, right? Because, you know, and the other one is, like, I don't even think people realize, but most of our Navy right now, our ships are running on hydro. They're running on water. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they're running on water. So what you're putting into these kids, you know, it's like people who was learning how to do work on Apple computers in the 80s.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Like when we first learned the internet, to be very honest.
You're giving that to them now. You're about 5 to 10 years ahead
when
you're teaching these kids.
Right.
You know, so how are they, I guess, embracing this? And are they looking at careers as they leave MOTEP in schools like Delaware Valley College where they're going to learn agriculture and stuff like that? Like, are you starting to see, like, movements that way?
Absolutely. So I think a lot of people, like, I have to remind them that I just started the program. And so it's like it's still in its early stages.
Right.
But the first class that I had, they actually just graduated. All of them went into or are majoring in STEM fields for college. And not only that, most of them received scholarships, if not full rides.
Right.
Not only that, they're like on the phone with me, and now we're looking at establishing these programs at their universities or their college. Why is that? Because they've taken ownership and they see the purpose behind it,
right,
and how it can really transform our communities. And I also wanted to talk to you, that was like, we partnered with some medical students down in Jackson, and they said to me, this is the most sustainable solution because everybody keeps bringing us bottled water, but that runs out, right? And right. then that contributes to the we're in a plastic age right now, right? Right. And so just taking it a step further with our 3D printers, we're now working on something called a polyformer. And so the polyformer takes plastic bottles, converts them into monofilament, and then we use the monofilament in the 3D printers.
Yes. And so, I love it. I'm such a nerd. I'm like, I love this kind of stuff.
And I'm not
really
trying to hawk this whole conversation, I'm going to slow down after this. But
because, James, let me tell you the real reason why you have to, because they have to wait. We were privileged to be able to do a story about this and put it on distribution. What Khadija wrote, we interviewed her, we went and filmed a little bit, and learned a lot. Mm-hmm. And in the process of learning a lot, these go right to work.
Yeah.
So the trailer that you see is all about this young lady and this program, because we just felt like it was a viable project to... Instead of, see, and I know how his mind work. Let me tell you where James is at right now.
You don't know. James, I don't think you got well that. I don't think you do, but go ahead.
This James already see what you know. And what you know, he see. Because it doesn't take a rocket scientist to see that this is Google for the first time. If not bigger than Google.
Mm-hmm.
But Google runs satellite. That's the most largest entity in business in the entire world. Mm-hmm. Outer space satellite. You tapped into that side of the spectrum of business, you can't go no further. You can't go no further than outer space. But Shirley Posey is outer space. And what I was fascinated about is because we had the privilege to go and see the farms and see her work and see the things that she was actually doing. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, we can't wait to launch it and bring it out so people can see exactly all the questions. And I wonder what. I know people got questions. So if you want to call in and talk to her, 888-329-3306. We got a couple minutes left. We here for about another 15 minutes. 888-329-3306. If you have any questions regarding Shirley Posey personally, about her business and her accolades, or the STEM program, live on Respectfully Speaking Radio. Now, I know James, and I'm going to keep saying this because, James, they have to wait and see the documentary film. They have to wait. As much as we want to expose her, we can't expose that much. Yeah.
Well, I'm going off of the normal questioning.
I know, because I know your mind. Listen, you can.
So
you're a type of brother, you can pick it apart. Don't pick it apart.
No, I'm not. I'm definitely not going to do that. But I'm just, what you talked about, the plastic, right? Because it was very interesting. I was just looking at a thing that about Singapore and how they have no trash. They have no trash. Like all the plastic, everything they recycle, they use. They make their highways out of recycled plastic and rubbers.
Interesting.
You know what I mean? So like when you just said that, I was like, wow, this is just, what you're teaching these kids and what these kids is learning is just transformative.
Life changing.
You know, this is incredible. It's no wonder why, it's a reason why you got all those awards.
Thank you.
And I saw the Eagles that honored you, and I saw that stuff. And like I said, we did the story. So when we started talking, I was like, hold on, let me double check, because I know we covered this, you know? And then I was like, yeah, we did. So, I mean, it's just incredible. And I'm going to piggyback off of something that you said
in terms of how are the kids coming back, right? Like, what are they taking with them? How are they planning their futures from this program? it's amazing because I feel like, okay, you're taking kids that grew up in this city and they know what this city is lacking. You've taken them to other places in the world and they know that it's worse over there. But I can see, what I can see with this program and what you're doing with these children is maybe these kids will come back and say, I'm going to put a supermarket in my hood. We don't have Whole Foods in our hoods. We don't have good eating options, even as far as Panera Breads and things like that. We don't have those things. So are the kids talking like in terms of like those things as far as once they finish with college and things like that? What are their career paths? What are they trying to do with those degrees?
I think that the beautiful thing is it's not when they graduate from college, but even now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So now I'm working with some of the students that just graduated. And I'm also on the board for they just asked me to be a part of the board for the Global Water Alliance. So I'm working with the Global mm-hmm. Water Alliance and United Nations mm-hmm. on a big project here. So I have some of the students that are in college helping me out with this project. So basically what we're doing is we're using...
Can you say what college?
Yes, I can. So from the illustrious... So three of them are at the illustrious Clark Atlanta University. Two yes. are majoring in biology, and the other is majoring in engineering. Then you have another one at the Penn State University where he's on he's on a full ride. He's an accounting major.
Nice.
You have another one down at North Carolina State. She's also a nursing major. I have another one. I forgot the name of. It's a local school here, but she's in pre-med as well. So they're all in STEM. Yeah.
Right. Congrats.
So thank you. Thank you. Awesome. With scholarships, hefty scholarships. So the project is we're looking at various places around the city that are abandoned. We're testing the soil and
Germantown High School.
Yeah. So we're bringing in other high schools. So I have like four. I can't announce which high schools they are because they had to apply. So I will be sending out their letters next week. But we're going to. Yeah. So the cool thing about this is that we're going around the city and creating innovative hydroponic systems. So we're not just solving problems internationally or globally, but we're solving problems locally.
Right here,
that is why how we build and sustain our own. It's not looking for outside sources, but I think that's the powerful thing about it. It's like we have the intellect. We can build our own. This is, again, how you create economic wealth within our communities. Mm-hmm. And another project that just finished working on, National STEM Day was last Friday. And over the summer, I was thinking about, well, what should we focus on? So that thing was the future of AI. Lo and behold, what was booming in the stock market last week?
AI
and robotics. So introduced the students to, and we had interactive modules coming in for Jefferson Health, showing them how AI is used in the healthcare field. So the possibilities, just really showing them, and it wasn't just like PowerPoints. No, they're like actually taking care of patients using virtual reality.
Absolutely.
Our kids in the city of Philadelphia.
Right. Mm.
So I think what they also learn from me is how to be a forward thinker. And I think that is the beautiful thing about this. It's like, again, if we're looking at the future and what our future and how are we preparing them and building these communities and cities for the future, we have to look at how do we transform their mind and how we teach them how to cultivate these leaders.
Wow.
Absolutely. Okay, I have a quick question. It's a selfish question. Yeah. Are you still at Eastern University?
Oh, that is so funny. No, actually, to answer that question, so I was a full-time professor, and I remember being in the board conference. So we would have like meetings and going over and looking at data and all that stuff. And so we had a lot of our nursing students that were not doing well. And they were our African-American students. So then one of my former colleagues says, you know, I can sit a monkey at a computer and they can outperform those students. So then like everyone kind of looked at me because, of course, I looked at them. But I was just like, I'm just going to show you better than I can tell you. So I created a program called iSuccess. All of those students, I got them to pass the NCLEX on the first time.
Wow.
Mm. Awesome. Also, they finished, they matriculated successfully through that program. But when I looked at the data in order to create this program map for
I saw that
all of the students came from the Philadelphia School District. So I had to make a decision to say, Shirley, are you really going to make an impact? Because if you have to make an impact, that means if you want to make an impact, you're going to have to go into secondary education. So that is how I ended up. And so my plate is like really full.
Question because my daughter wants to go to Eastern for nursing. And I was, and when I saw that on your bio, I was like, oh my God, I can't wait for my daughter to meet you. Like, that would just be so awesome.
The reason why.
That's why I said it was a selfish question.
And honestly, because ever since I got deep into this project, I really start really more fall in love with the educational side and what you bring. Because I was in jail before. And the best part, the best part that I remember out of that bad situation was how smart certain people was. Oh, my God. The research. Like, I used to tell people, I used to read encyclopedias in 3 months. A whole encyclopedia from start to finish in 3 months. And that's how I gather so much information about history, like cause to effect. So when I start digging deep and doing this project, Shirley Posey is amazing.
Thank you.
Because, and I say this when you're not around, sister, respectfully, because, and I like how you say, we all talk, right? Oh, my God. You was killing it. I'm watching your mannerism because people do talk a lot. But the way you said it, how you say it? And, you know, we talk a lot, right? You know, we, because that's a pattern. And I could tell you say that a lot. You say that often because there are a lot of talkers out there. So I'm a firm person like James say, EA, we naming the show Respectfully Speaking. You say that a lot because I always known that my tone always offended people. Because when I get excited, it start raising. They think, don't yell at me. I'm not yelling at you. You are the truth. May God continue to strengthen you, and may you still have what's naturally inside of you grow even stronger. Because to be able to take people, any group of people that actually are not that intellectual and help them be is a miracle. Because we know how children read, right? If you study psychology, children learn to read from your mouth, from enunciation. Like, da-da, ma-ma, they learn from that. I learned that from psychology. So if you can, if we can get a large enough program in the world, like how OSI used to do for certain people. Was it OSI?
I know you're talking about. OIC.
Yeah, OIC. It was a great program. Like, we need some of the more of the programs that teach construction, plumbing, electrical, like Jermaine. You know what I'm saying? No, honestly.
No, I've been saying that for years.
Because I tell people, from what I studied, honestly, I used to say, listen, and even religion teach you that the Book of Eli, I always reference that film. Because if you watch it, I watched it twice to really get the moral of the story. Wow. It was teaching that religion is power. You can't show everybody the secret ingredients because it trains people. It controls people. Education, we need you to control people. We need you to control, be one, I don't know, I wish I could make you, not make you, in my own humorous way. We wish we could make you like Oprah right now and take all her production off the plate and do what you're doing with all her financials. That's what I mean. That's what I was trying to get out. Like, we wish you can be.
She would change the city.
Well, the city, she could change the world.
I'm just saying, like, if you're saying just right, you know, we're talking we can start about right at, here on the local
we can start
level,
at Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We can start at Philly. But I say do the 10 largest cities in America.
Yeah.
And start with the ones that have the most effect bad water. You know what I'm saying?
You can start right here.
We can start right here. We're going to start right here.
Right.
You don't have to go any places.
I mean, but right now, no, she in Ghana. She in Africa. What other place? Y'all in Ghana? And where else? Y'all just went to another. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. So, yes, we just came back from Kenya in, what month is this, November? Kenya, yes. October, we were in Kenya, and we were able to do the water, build our water filtration systems, build a STEM lab so that they continue the work there, right? And then build hydroponic systems. So now that the students... And some of them want to go into agricultural engineering. So what we're doing now is we're building hydroponic systems in addition to the water filtration systems wherever we go. So we just did that, just came back from Kenya, and we'll be back in Ghana in April.
That's awesome. So I have a question. Flint, Michigan, because of their crisis in Flint with the water, is that something that you guys thought about also? Because I know you said you guys went to Memphis. Was Flint or did Michigan area?
So it's a couple of places. Everybody is like really wants, you know, we're getting calls because even down in Africatown in Alabama, they don't get a lot of light shed on them. They need it. We went to Sapelo Island because they need it. But definitely Flint, Michigan is definitely on there. And I also want to say, too, that I am launching my own company called Future Shift. And that's going to be, it's a really big project.
I knew
project.
That was coming.
It's a really big project. You. So make sure everyone stays tuned for that.
And what is that called again?
Future Shift.
Future Shift.
Building global innovation, awesome. Cultural synergy to build communities, sustainable communities for the future.
Well, I'm glad to be your friend.
Yep.
You know, I just want to say.
Yes.
That, first of all, I'm just like in awe of you. That's one thing. Right. Because you left being a professor to come into the inner city school because you saw the need. And a lot of people just don't leave their professions just to come back into working in the city school. So, one, I commend you for doing
Thank
that.
Because
right. it's rough working in these inner cities.
Yes, it is.
Especially when you're trying to... When you're trying to...
Damn, D's. When you're Thank trying, you for saying that.
Yeah,
it, no, when you, D's.
Because I've worked in any city school.
No, you're right.
And that's the reason why I'm so passionate right. about the things that I do. Because I know that the kids can learn. And I know that they want more. And I
yes.
know that a lot of times the teachers, and not always the teachers, the support staff, and just people that they don't often see what other people see in the children.
Absolutely.
And sometimes they just like brush them aside and say, oh, they just bad. They don't want to learn. But that's not true. They just need that person to look at them and say, what is it that you want to do?
Mm-hmm.
What would you like to do? Would you like to see something different? And I know why, because I worked at the front desk at Global Leadership Academy for almost like 4 years.
Oh, nice.
And I was a school bus driver for years. So I'm one of those people that I like to talk to the kids because I want to know what's going on in your mind. What do you want to see happen? And a lot of times the children don't get that. So what you're doing is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that I love about it is I always try to get children to go into STEM when they go to college.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I know people like nursing, and I don't have nothing against no nursing. Mm-hmm. I don't have nothing against people who want to work in human resources and be counselors. But we got to stop that as African, as Black people in America.
Mm-hmm.
Because those jobs are the minimal when it comes to pay.
Now, yeah, you see how things change?
When it comes to pay.
Mm-hmm. 20 years, it shifts.
It's crazy. Well, let me tell you something. I was in college. I went to Penn College of Technology, and that is a part of Penn State. It's in Williamsport. And I was going to be a nurse. Because I always wanted to be a nurse. Well, I thought I wanted to be a nurse anyway. But then once I got in school as an adult and worked at a hospital, I didn't want to be a nurse no more. You know what I'm saying? Because I, to me, it's a nice money, but for all I got to put up with, I'm good on it.
Yeah, you got it.
So when I always try to talk to the kids, going because my father was an architect, and my father he was military, career military. He was in the Army my entire life. He retired from the Army. He taught in art. He taught architecture in the Army. And I always feel like the children could go to school, become an architect, you know, go into engineering, go into science, because we do need nurses, but we need scientists. We need people like you
Innovative.
That show these kids that say, our people have always invented and created.
That's right.
And
That's
because of so much stuff that has happened in history over time, we have come away from that. And it's like, oh, these kids can't learn. We've always been to learn. We've almost created every single thing that everyone uses every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel that you are filling that need, and that more we need like 1,000 more Shirley's because
she's creating them.
Because the children really,
she's creating them. Really, she has millions behind her.
You know, it's crazy, right? Because as you're saying that, and I'm sitting here listening to you.
Right.
We were creating a lot more, but when schools got integrated, that stopped because we didn't need to produce stuff for our communities. So now you see it literally right in front of you, an African-centric school, and they're creating stuff, right, to fill a need that communities have.
That's right. Yes.
That if there was no MOTEP and there was no school that wasn't, I hate to say it, that's not integrated.
Right.
You probably wouldn't see this coming out because she would still be at Eastern or she would be somewhere like Masterman and they would be stalling her from creating this stuff.
Absolutely.
You get what I'm saying? And from being in education, I've seen that.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And the craziest thing you said, I think it floated past everyone in here, right? We talked about it earlier in Georgia, right? Mm-hmm. What's the name of the island?
Sapelo Island.
Now, pause, right?
I don't know where that's at.
But here's what we're missing. Talking about creating sustainable water. We're on an island.
Mm-hmm. Real estate.
On an inshore island.
Right.
But you're talking about somewhere surrounded with plenty of water.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And think about
drink
that.
Drink it.
Right? Like, literally just reflect
on that.
So you're
trying to say we could just all move. We ain't got to pay for no water no more?
No, what I'm saying is when you think about a community that's based around water.
Right. No, I understand.
That's a minority community. Yeah. Most of those islands are. Right? That's where the slaves ran off to and their families stayed stuck on those islands because they didn't take the land from them.
That is true.
Right? Most of them are Geechee, you know, and you see that and you're like, wow, that's you're on an island and you don't have water.
You know what's crazy about that is we took some equipment down there, so it's like air quality, right? So what's happening now is the state of Georgia is trying to take the land from the Gullah Geechee people.
Yeah.
So they've isolated them into one part of the island called Hog Hammock.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And so what's happened, so when we had our air quality machines, like on the part that the state of Georgia owns, air pristine, 100, 98, 96. As soon as we stepped into Hog Hammock, it plummeted to 42, 36 and got down to like 18 or 19. We actually have this data.
Wow.
So it's like, here you have the state of Georgia here and they're not doing any. The people, the Gullah Geechee people were in tears when we tested their water because they said they've been asking the state of Georgia to test their water for 10 years.
Mm-mm-mm.
We tested one school's water and the students from our STEM ambassadors, they were like, sis, look at these readings. And I was just like, did y'all do that right? They said, yeah, we did. The water, we showed the principal. We showed the principal, and so the principal he was like, I'm going to call the health inspector. The health inspector came down, shut the school down because he said the water was not safe to cook or consume.
Mm.
So they had to come in and clean the water. So that's just the magnitude that you have from these kids, from the city of Philadelphia, where we get so much negativity on what our teenagers are doing. But no, what would happen if we gave them the right resources and the right tools so that they could be successful?
I have a question. I mean, will MHOTEP be expanding in terms of like elementary and starting with the younger age children and then transitioning so that they don't ever have to go to a bad school? Like they can go to MLTEP from kindergarten all the way through high school.
So that would be beautiful. I'm not the CEO, so I can't make those decisions.
Yeah, no, she's not,
I can say with the future shift, the company that I'm building will definitely be able to cater to that population.
Nice.
Right.
Nice. I love it.
Yeah, she's just she brought a program to the school.
Nice.
And I'm just glad that we were able to get Shirley because Shirley be very, very busy. And she really do. And I'm very, very delighted that you took a little time to come talk about it and spread your information because information is powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And we need that information to be spread. Now, I want to ask everybody at the table to make sure that we're following. Like, I know MHOTEP got a lot of pages. What's your personal page for the program?
We do. My personal page is Shirley, L-E-L-L-E, Posey. You can find me on Instagram, Facebook, and also LinkedIn under Shirley E-L-L-E, Posey. And then also specifically for the STEM program is TEP Global Changers. Again, that's TEP Global Changers. Then you can find my handle on that page. So it's TEP Global Changers.
There you go. And that's what we tag in the show. It's all about Shirley Posey today. This was one of the... See, I like to get information. And each time that I learn something at my age, double nickels, I just feel like... I'm young again. I feel like it took 10 more years off my life because now I can try something different and grow even more, you know. And I was watching The Incredible Hulk the other day, and it's crazy because I've wound up watching like 40 minutes of it. And throughout the whole time when it was playing itself, I really wasn't paying it no mind, but I was really critiquing myself on like, transitioning like the Incredible Hulk, but not angry. That may have went over a lot of people's heads. That's
no, I get it.
No, I get it.
You know what I'm saying? So some of those things are symbolic. Mm-hmm. Shirley Posey, thank you for coming and joining
us. And you
know
what, EA? Mm-hmm. If you want to turn green, only thing you got to do is go to that island off of Georgia and breathe the air for a while. Because that's what they're doing is poisoning them people.
Exactly. Wow.
Well, we got the solution.
Island. Exactly. You know, you got islands like Smith Island and Merlin where the government is coming in and cleaning their water and doing everything for them.
Well, we got the solution.
So it's just crazy.
Mm-hmm. We got the solution. We just got to get Shirley Posey, you know. And you got 1 minute. Go ahead and end the show for us.
Just want to thank you all for having me on this show. I think it's needed. I definitely think it's powerful, even the work that you all are doing. So thank you for having me. And remember that in order to build sustainable communities for the future, we have to learn how to build and develop sustainable minds.
So one more time. Say that again.
I will try to say that again. So in order to build nations. In order to build nations for the future, we have to first develop nations within the mind.
Absolutely. Thank you, Shirley Posey. Thank y'all for joining us. Tune in every Friday, 5 to 6 p.m., Respectfully Speaking Radio. And we got our Teen Awards coming up December 29th at the Commodore Barry. Make sure y'all check for that. We're going to start bringing some of the designers and models ages 8 to 17. It's not for the adults. See y'all next week live. WWDBAM Talk 860, Respectfully Speaking Radio. Yeah! I got no excuse. I'm bad. I'm bad. I spit it when it knows me. Tell me not to, and I only do it again and again. Times 10. So who the hell are you to tell me what to do? Girl, you